May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So we come to the end of the Bread of Life discourse at last. If you have missed a few weeks of church and you're sitting here wondering and saying, wasn't Jesus talking about the Bread of Life 4 weeks ago before I went on vacation? Yes, he was. In John's Gospel, which we take a break with over the summer, we spend some significant time as Jesus moves from that moment in which he had fed the 5,000 into a period of teaching. And he does this with people, as we've talked about in the last few weeks, who are not really getting it. They had followed him into the wilderness. They had eaten the bread that had miraculously been enough to feed them. But they are puzzled and troubled and confused by what Jesus is trying to teach them. And it does. The more Jesus tries, the harder it gets for them. Once he finally gets to the eat my flesh, drink my blood, they're just done. They're just done. And I gotta tell you, at this point, after preaching on this for 5 weeks, and this is my last day before vacation, I get some sympathy for them. They came to Jesus with lots of hopes and expectations. 5 weeks ago, when we read the story of the feeding of the 5,000, you may remember that after that miraculous feeding, that amazing moment, they all had tried to grab hold of Jesus and make him king. They had some very clear ideas about what the Messiah was supposed to be like. And Jesus has disappointed them. Jesus is not the Messiah that they were hoping for. They were hoping for a Messiah who would ride in and right things and fix things and turn everything upside down and make things immediately better for them, who would solve their problems. And instead, they've gotten this long-winded explanation about if we just trust Jesus and abide in him, somehow that makes things better. They are disappointed in Jesus. And so even though John calls them disciples, and they've clearly invested some time and energy into following, they decide enough is enough. And they head off to look for something else. You know, in some ways, this describes my feelings about the church. Not St. Mark's particularly, or even the Episcopal Church entirely, but, you know, the ecclesia, the gathering of God's people, and what it's like to be part of the church. Because it has such potential. All of these wonderful words. It's amazing some of the things the church has managed to do. But the longer you stay in the church, the more you discover that we are constantly failing to live up to that potential. We're full of human beings who come here not pure and kind and generous and always perfectly understanding, but very human. And sometimes those human beings come with understandings about the Bible that are just weird to me, that just don't fit into my way of understanding about the Bible when I think that it should. They come with personalities that sometimes don't mesh up with mine. And we rub against each other like two different fabrics that don't quite fit together. And they're rubbing like wool on a hot day. You all know there are people in the church that's, it's not that they're wrong, it's not that they're bad, is that somehow you just don't fit together. We come expecting the music to be sublime and the liturgy to lift our hearts and our spirits, Some days we're off key, no one is singing, and there is a crying baby who wails all the way through the sermon, well, through the Eucharistic prayer. If you stay in the church long enough, if you haven't been disappointed yet, you will be. Because we come looking in church for something that it's not. And in that disappointment, it becomes a real temptation to say the heck with this. I feel like the disciples who look and go, this is a difficult teaching, who can accept it? Eh, enough. It's easy to feel that way. But then there's Peter, isn't there? There's Peter, and can you almost hear the resignation in his voice? Where would we go? Where would we go, Jesus? Because you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know you are the Holy One of God. I stay in the church and I keep coming back, not because I'm never disappointed, but because this is where I meet Jesus. This is where I hear the words of eternal life, the words of spirit and life, as Jesus says. This is where I receive the bread of life that lets me abide in him and him in me. I come to church because I have come to believe and know that Jesus is the Holy One of God. And this is where I find other people who know that too. And even with the people who rub me the wrong way, or who just have odd beliefs, or just simply are not who I think they ought to be, God probably has a different idea. Even with all those people, every now and then, we gather around the altar, we break bread, we share our stories, and I realize that they are Jesus, that they have come to show me who Jesus is, that they have come to share with me the words of eternal life. I keep coming back to church even though it disappoints me, because where would I go? This is where I find God. This, and in all of you, and in all that crazy mayhem that is the wider church, is where the Holy Spirit is present to lead us into new understandings and new truth. I hear the resignation in Peter's voice, but I also hear hope. I hear hope because there may not be any place else for him to go. This may be hard and difficult and a real struggle at times to understand. But he has seen a glimpse of the richness and wonder of what's been offered. He has seen a glimpse of the way that God will sustain him if he just keeps eating that bread of life. He has seen a glimpse of how the kingdom of heaven may come to be real and realized in that gathering around Jesus, in what will eventually become the church. Where will we go, he says. Maybe if it was someone else who was offering an easier way, a church that actually was always the way we envisioned it and wanted to be. Heck, we'd all pick up our tent stakes and decamp and head for it, right? But God didn't come as the Messiah we wanted, who would ride in on a white horse and fix all of our problems. He came as the Messiah willing to walk with us in the messiness and the difficulty of life, to suffer death and be raised again to give us hope in our own lives. It's messy and untidy, frustrating and disappointing. And it is filled with the presence of God, with the bread of life, with the words of spirit and life. Where would we go? To whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know. Here is the Holy One of God. Amen.